Despite your healthy teen skepticism, Jeremy, problems that seem crushing now can actually serve to shape your life in positive ways later on.
You're just saying that.
No, well, I'll tell you what. Perhaps I can convince you with a story. I recall a young man who suffered from involuntary bedwetting until he was 12 years old. Or was it 13? Boy, you'd think I'd remember. I slept in the lower bunk. The point is, it was very difficult for him, what with the alarms and the bladder stretching exercises and the incessant teasing he suffered once his schoolmates found out.
How'd they find out?
But the point I'm trying to make here is that this man today is a prominent and respected psychiatrist. And you see, his afflictions serve to make him stronger, more empathic, and extremely hygienic. So hang in there, Jeremy.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Crane.
Thank you. And thank you, listeners. This is Dr. Fraser Crane saying good day and good mental health.
That was kind of brave to admit you were a bedwetter.
Oh, Ross, pay attention. That was Niles, not me. Well, you know, I've got to run. Still putting the finishing touches on my speech for the Boston conference.
Did you come up with the title?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Niles will be introducing me on Notes for a Critical Approach to Radio as Mediating Gateway in the Process of Psychological Demystification.
Good speech. What's the title?
No, it promises to be a fun family weekend for all, actually. Oh, so what do you got planned for the weekend?
Actually, my sorority sisters are coming in for a visit.
Well, I suppose you'll be sharing the secret handshake, doing skits, that sort of thing.
Yeah, right. Only problem is, it's just my apartment is just too small for everyone to stay in. Hey, your place will be empty?
Say no more, Ross. No.
Why not?
I'm sorry, Ross. It's just the idea of strangers in my apartment. I couldn't sleep.
Sorry I asked.
No apology necessary. Oh, Ross, that reminds me. Actually, since you're going to be walking Eddie for Dad anyway, I wrote down a list of a couple of other things you could do for me as well.
Pick up the mail and newspapers, water the ficus, fluff your pillows.
Yes, thank you. Oh, and please, don't forget to mist my bedroom with rose water. It likes it best at dusk. Oh, I love returning to Boston. There's just something in the air.
Perhaps the toxic gas spewing from your gigantic mouth.
Oh, Ross, please, would you just let it go? I didn't mention your name.
Oh, no, you just said it was someone with whom you shared a bunk bed who is now a psychiatrist. I'd say that narrows the field down to, me.
But only to someone who knows that you're my brother. And who would that be?
My patients.
Guys at work.
One of the flight attendants.
Oh, so that's why she looked at me that way when I told her I spilled my drink.
Oh. Will you guys come on? I want to see my bag come down the chute.
All right, Dad.
You can forget about my introducing your talk.
Oh, Niles, you can't be serious.
I wouldn't even be here if Daphne didn't want to see Boston.
Yes, I do. So you two make up and let's go and get one of those famous Boston lobsters.
No, it's Maine that's famous for lobsters, sweetheart. Boston's famous for beans.
Beans? Mm-hmm. What kind of a city brags about bloody beans?
That's right. Yeah, your common pumpkin was once 600 times the size of the present-day variety. Yeah, thereby allowing the entire fiefdom to feast the whole winter on the meat of your single seed.
Cliff Clavin.
Fraser! You old dog! Yeah, how you doing? See.
Cliff, say hello to the family. This is my brother, Niles Crane.
Hey, you're Niles.
And his fiancée, Daphne Moon. And this is my dad, Martin Crane.
Hey, Marty.
Nice to meet a fellow civil servant.
Oh, you're one of the brethren, are you?
I was a cop for 30 years.
Oh, yeah, couldn't pass the mail carrier's exam, huh? You know what? I can't believe you brought your entire family here for my retirement party.
Well,
you
actually,
know, when I didn't get your RSC bouplé, I figured you weren't going to show up, but you son of a gun, you wanted to surprise me, didn't you?
Yes. Surprise!
Hey, you know what? I got to go meet Ma's plane. She's bringing in 10 gallons of punch. See you guys tonight, huh?
Right.
8 o'clock sharp.
And cheers.
Oh, no. Sammy's got it booked for a Red Sox reunion tonight. We're going to be at the Somerville Town Crier.
Why did you do that? This is our one free night. I had to pull a lot of strings to get dinner reservations at L'Espalier.
Niles, you saw how thrilled he was. I couldn't say no. Besides, it'll be a chance for me to see my old friends again. I mean, these people are an important part of my past. They were there for me when I needed friends most.
How about if we move the reservation back half an hour?
Well, that should be plenty.
You can Crane.
Look at you. I forgot how big your head is.
Carla, you haven't changed a bit. This is my family.
Hey, everybody, want to try some deviled eggs, huh? I use my special recipe, water instead of mayonnaise.
Hey, Freeze!
Oh, Paul, how you doing?
Paul, how'd you find out about this?
I live here. I just came down for some ice.
Well, stay out of the way.
Can do.
Evening, everybody.
Hey, so what's going down now?
My blood alcohol level. Suds, do your work. Frazier's here.
Hey, Norm, how you doing?
You brought his whole family now.
Yeah. Say hi to my brother Niles and his fiance Daphne Moon, and
that's my dad there, Martin Craig.
Wow, that's some mug callus you got there.
Judging from your grip, I'd say you're a can man.
Guilty as charged.
All right.
Oh, thanks.
Listen, Cliffy, Vera would have been here, so I didn't tell her about it.
Yes, Vera is Norm's much-storied wife.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. Let me know when we're leaving.
Right.
We're never going to get out of here in half an hour. Why don't you and I just go?
Niles, don't be rude. These are your brother's friends. Just try and loosen up.
Hey, it's quite a suit you got there, buddy boy. What, it cost over $100, I bet, huh? Hey, Paul! Paul, here, feel this suit.
I'm next after Paul.
Yeah, get in here, Paul.
So, Carla, how you been?
Well, two of my kids are in jail. The bank's about to foreclose on the house, and after tonight, I'm never going to see Cliff Clavin again. Things are great.
Yeah, Carla was never really a fan of Cliff's.
Well, not to talk the guy down, but he's a big blowhard who thinks he knows everything and never shuts up.
Imagine.
Hey, Norm, let me buy you a beer.
Where have you been all my life? Yeah, well, email did hurt us, but, you know, computer's going to be dead in about 5 years anyway. Post office will rise again, my friend. We'll rise again. Feel it.
Frazier.
Hmm? Oh.
Say, Cliff, where's your mom?
Ma got on the wrong plane. She went to Bosnia.
Tell us more about how you're leaving. No, and tell it real slow. Quiet, everybody.
Carla, tomorrow I'm getting on a plane going to the promised land, Florida. Time to hang up the old uniform and live in my Speedos.
I didn't think anything could live in your Speedos. Aren't you a bit young to retire, Cliff? I'd be worried I'd become bored.
Now don't you worry about that, Missy. When I get down here to old Florida, I'm going to buy myself an airboat. I'll give tours of the Everglades. Maybe wrestle a few crocodiles.
That would be alligators.
Common mistake there, Sparky. See, when a crocodile raises its head, its nostrils get pinched shut tight, thereby cutting off its oxygen supply. Yeah, a baby could wrestle one.
That's fascinating. Did you know that, Niles?
I still don't. Excuse me, Daphne. Frazier, if we're going to make our reservation, we need to leave now.
Well, is that time already?
Already? If I hear one more of that postman's crackpot theories, my head will explode.
Niles, don't worry about him. Nobody takes him seriously.
I never knew there were so many letters in the dolphin alphabet.
I see. Well, is Dad ready to go?
Dad'd be content to sit there swilling beer all night.
Well, you know what? It seems like everyone's having such a good time. Why don't we just push the reservation back another half an hour?
Well, everyone isn't having...
Hey, Fraze, sit down. Tell us what it's like to be famous.
Oh, sure, Paul. Better make it an hour.
Best thing is, on a summer's day, you open a cold one, and that foam runs down your hand, and for a split second there, you're jealous of your own knuckles.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea that you were a poet.
Oh.
Yeah. Tell me the one about the bacon again.
Which one?
All of them.
Hey, white bread. What could possibly be wrong on this most wonderful of nights?
Oh, no offense. It's just we had reservations at one of the finest restaurants in Boston, and instead we're eating trail mix and drinking this... Oh, dear God, it's just labeled wine.
Hey, Norm. Doesn't he remind you of Frazier? Say indubitably.
Must I?
It's uncanny.
Yeah. Hey, remember that time you guys took Fraser on a snipe hunt?
Yeah.
What's a snipe hunt?
That's when you take some unsuspecting dope out to bag snipe, which don't exist, and then you ditch him in the woods.
That must have been completely humiliating for Fraser.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
Well, do you have any more of these stories?
Only about a million.
Oh, I don't have time for a million. Just tell me the 100 worst.
Okay, well, look, when Fraser first started coming to Cheers, he was really kind of a boob.
Yeah, boob. Sorry.
Everybody, attention there.
Mr. Twitchell has got something to say here.
I'd like to propose a toast to Cliff Clavin. We were often adversaries, but he was a postman. And I'll say this about him. He never developed a stoop. Yeah. Mostly because he threw the big catalogs into the river. And even though he didn't strictly abide by the rules, especially 367B, section 17. Well, anyway, when all is said and done, you have to ask, what will the mail be without Cliff Clavin?
On time!
Twitchell, thank you very much.
I just want to thank you, Cliff, for all the great times we had at Cheers.
Well, you're always there for me, Al.
I'm Phil. Al's been dead for 14 years, you dumb son of a bitch.
Well, you know, I hadn't planned on making a speech, so my remarks will have to be extemporaneous.
I hope that means dirty.
Smart money's on Long.
It was about 10 years ago when I, too, left Boston. But the kind wishes and outpouring of emotion from my friends remain fresh in my mind. I still remember Sam throwing me a lavish party and dubbing me the Einstein of Cheers against my modest protest that I was merely the Niels Bohr.
You still are.
Thank you. And then, of course, Norm begging me to stay, and that comical moment when Woody threw his arms around my legs and began to cry. Now another of us is leaving this wonderful town. Good luck, Cliff.
Yeah. Great. I was going to say good luck, Cliff.
Please hold our table. We'll be there in a half hour.
Cliff, are you all right?
Yeah. Yeah, you just, gotta take a break from all that partying. All right, you pried it out of me. It's my so-called friends. They don't care about me.
Sure they do.
Nah, your toast in there brought home the ugly truth. You know, when you left, everybody asked you to stay. I mean, I told these muyaks 6 months ago I was retiring. And not one single one of them said anything like, I'm sure gonna miss you there, Big Shooter. Or, gee, I wish you could stick around, Big Shooter.
Big Shooter.
Yeah, it's a nickname I once gave myself.
Well, Cliff, you know, it's entirely possible that your friends are suffering from a kind of separation anxiety. They may find it difficult to admit to themselves that you are actually leaving. You know, I could have a little talk with them if you'd like.
What kind of hollow victory would that be? So if I took a walk around the block, would that give you enough time?
Sure. Everybody, listen up. Cliff is going through a kind of a crisis about leaving.
No, he's not. No crisis.
All I'm saying is that it would go a long way toward helping him if you could just let him know how much you're going to miss him. Tell him, you know, how sad you are that he's leaving.
I don't know, Frasier. Look, I'm his best friend, but I am no good at the mushy stuff.
Well, surely you can come up with a few words to say, Norm.
Yeah, but what if he cries? Yeah, what if he tries to hug me? What are people going to think? Two guys hugging.
You're going to kiss him with tongue if that's what it takes to get rid of him. Shh, okay, here he is. Everyone, pretend you like him.
Carla, we do like him.
Yeah, like that.
I want to make a toast. Cliff, you've always been my role model.
Really? You mean that, Paul?
I sure do. Especially when it comes to the ladies. I'm sad you're going.
Yeah.
Cliff, I will miss you too, you dumb son of a bitch.
I haven't known you for very long, Cliff, but I've learned so much from you. I never knew that the Indians of the rainforest used to stretch out pig intestines and use it as a primitive telephone. Or that Winston Churchill invented the modern English muffin. You're a fascinating man. Good luck.
Oh, thank you, Daphne.
He's smooth. Congratulations, Cliff. Stop that. Stop.
Cliffy, we've been best friends for a long, long time. We've done a lot of stuff together, most of it dumb, rest of it boring, but it's like we have this connection, you know? I mean, somehow we know when we want to be dumb and when we want to be boring. I don't know what I'm going to do without you. To my best friend, Cliff.
Cliff, yeah.
Come here, you.
Carla, don't you have a few words to say?
I sure do. Cliffy, I know that things haven't always been that great between us over the years, but you know, being here tonight makes me think about the effect that you've had on my life. I'd like to say that I'll miss you.
It's okay, Carla.
I'd like to say that I'll miss you, but it sticks in my throat like your rotten deviled eggs. I hate your guts, the way you talk and talk and talk about nothing, the way you walk your stupid white socks.
Carla.
Back off, I'm toasting. The 20 years I have known you would have been less painful if I was covered with open sores and thrown into a pit with a bunch of diseased rats. But now, finally, you're leaving. I know I'm not as young as I used to be, but I can live again. I can live again. Finally, I can live. I can live. Anyway, God bless.
You know, I can't believe my ears. When I heard Paul and Norm there saying all those nice things about me, I actually started thinking maybe I shouldn't go to Florida and leave all my friends. You know, am I doing the right thing? But when I heard you speak those words, Carla, that's when I decided. I am gonna stay.
What?
That's right, you little dickens. You only joke about somebody like that when you really care for him.
I wasn't joking. I really hate you.
Oh, Connor, come on. You're gonna make me cry now. Everybody, the move is off.
No!
Oh, Fraser, I owe this all to you.
Fraser, we were so close.
Well, we've got dinner reservations.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for all the gifts, but I don't have much use for a spear gun here in Boston.
Give me that.
Well, see you around, big shooter.
Thanks, Doc.
Good luck, Cliff. Anytime you're in Seattle.
Fraser has an extra room.
Marty, you're not going too, are you?
Yeah, I have to. But yeah. Hey, why don't you come to Seattle sometime? I'll show you around. Have a few beers at McGinney's.
Yeah, you mean that?
Absolutely. It's only 6 hours flying time from here.
6 hours, you know, sitting there in one place, never moving. That's just not me, yeah. You know? Sure thing.
Listen, I'm sorry that I ruined your evening.
Oh, actually, I ended up rather enjoying myself.
Really? I can't tell you how happy I am to hear that. I knew that once you met these people, you'd learn to love them as I do.
Yes, actually, I've rethought a lot of things. I'm going to give you a much-deserved introduction at that conference tomorrow.
Are you certain?
Oh, you won't be able to stop me.
Oh.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Mercy.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Well, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again.
Frasier has left the building.